You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Dr. Michael Teng, author of the book, What Can We Learn from the Animals About Office Politics? First of all, you're known as the corporate turnaround expert. How did you go from this area into the area of office politics?
I've written something like more than 10 books on turnaround management. And I realized that it's very important to address the individual level, not just the strategic and tactical issues. Because a lot of distressed companies, they're full of office politics in a company. And a turnaround guy has to be able to survive the office politics before he can talk about turning around the company. And also, in this global recession, companies are downsizing. Job preservation is very, very key. And just knowing how to do your job is not good enough. And with mergers and acquisitions being so rampant, it is important that the corporate executives must know how to survive, read the landscape correctly, and know how to adapt to the situation.
Using the analogy from the animal kingdom of survival of the fittest, isn't this quite a harsh analogy? I mean, is that how the office environment should be seen?
On the contrary, the animal kingdom is one that has lasted many years. And animals play politics every day. If they play the politics wrongly, they'll be eaten up alive. And there are many lessons that we can draw from the animal kingdom. I can give some illustrations. The hyena will wait for the lion to finish his meal. And at the same time, the lion's happy about it because the hyena will keep the smaller animals from stealing the lion's meal. So it's a very balanced ecosystem. And animals, when they are full, they do not go out and prey on other animals, And the victims know, the prey know, once the lions are full, they dare to go near the lions. So it's a very nice balanced system that's lasted many years. Whereas look at the human political system, Look at the mess we are seeing in Wall Street. Okay, I think somehow we haven't got it right, Animals got it better than we do, And these are many lessons that we can learn.
What are there exactly that we can learn?
I think to play a political game well, one has to understand the different situations. Now, animals are very, very good, If there's famine in a certain part of the jungle, they moved on. They move to greener pastures, so to speak. And even the elephants, they can know the oncoming tsunami. Animals know when the tsunami is coming. There are three situations that I'd like to share where we can learn from the animals. The first situation is what I call a surgical stage situation, where the company is in distress. And most companies are in this stage. So the animals that will sit very well in this stage will be like sharks, like crocodiles, where aggressive mode may be necessary because you're talking about cost-cutting, talking about survival. Then the stage two is what I call the resuscitation stage, where the company has built the top line. And animals that will fit very well in this stage would be like the peacock. I think presentation skills are important. The monkeys, which work very well as a team, and the dogs as well. Those are animals that we can share. Stage three is what I call the nursing stage, where the corporate culture comes in. You want to have a strong corporate culture. And animals that sit very well in this stage would be like the eagle, the chameleon, because here you want to have a culture which is flexible, fast, and able to innovate quickly. So one has to adapt accordingly, and animals do adapt.
And what about people? Are people able to adapt as well as animals?
My short answer to you is no. Okay, I think animals are better, adaptation. And that's why there are a lot of myths in organization. Things like, oh, if I work hard, somehow the company will treasure me. The boss likes me, therefore nothing wrong, I don't want to play office politics. Now, these are all myths because in a changing landscape like it is, with rampant merger and acquisition, bosses do change. And companies closing down, So the corporate executives must know how to adapt.
So are you saying that the role that you have, let's say one day you play the role of a dog, you're a team player and you're doing well in the organization, the next week you might need to be more of a shark?
Yes.
I mean, are you saying that we should really go into office environment thinking, how can I play this game?
For example, a dog will sit very well in, I mentioned just now, the stage two, okay, the resuscitation. But when a company goes into this landscape, where I call it a surgical stage, where emphasis is on financial control and so forth, and if the dog continue to spend, or going overseas to expand, and so forth, I think you'll not cut it well with the management because the company is bleeding already. So the corporate executives has to fine-tune himself. In fact, this is a period where they have to start about cutting costs and so forth, not going out further to market, and that's why In stage one, a dog may not sit that well. A shark, a crocodile who faces the problems head on might probably perform better.
You talk about the different animal personalities that fit in certain stages of an organization. But within each organization, there are always going to be different people who have different strengths and weaknesses, right? Is there always room for a dog in an organization?
Most organizations will kind of have a certain percentage of each three phases, maybe say 60% stage one, 20% stage two, 20% stage three. And that's where you need all different animals, you know, with their inherent strengths and traits to be an organization. So rarely do you see, unless the company is really in a fourth stage cancer, where it's 100% stage one. You know.
Everybody probably wants to be the king of the jungle, but that doesn't work. Even in nature, there's only one.
A chameleon, I guess, will sit quite well in most all the three stages, because three stages requires flexibility. Okay, and you've got to be able to adapt, and chameleon adapts very well to the environment. And that's why they survive for so many years. You know? Even a lion has to respect the landscape. A lion will not want to tread on a snake. Okay, he knows. Okay, if you step on a snake, he's in big trouble. He wants to get a fatal bite. You know, that would be his early, you know, grave. And even a lion, all right, will not be the king of the ocean. Who is the king of the ocean? The sharks. So you have to see the situation at play. A lion, of course, is the king of the jungle because that environment fits him very well.
Okay. I mean, you've been talking about some of the lessons that we can learn from animals. I mean, what are the things that the mistakes that we can learn from that we see in nature?
One of the issues that crop up is dirty politics, you know. And this is happening, you know. Why is it that you see some people who play dirty politics and survive? You know? My book actually does not encourage people to play dirty politics. I mean, look at the pests, the rats, you know. Of course, they're good rats. Okay, they're used in experimentation and so forth. And some rats are being eaten for its proteins. These are good rats. But if you're branded as a pest, like the rats, okay, especially in a corporate context, you know, and bosses can find out very fast, okay, whether this guy is a political, you know, he's playing dirty politics or not. And once you're branded as that, okay, people want to exterminate you. A good example would be the mustang. It's a very nice, very powerful animal. They run around the forest. It's very gentle and so forth. And it's a lot of elegance and grace. But what happened to mustang today? There are not many left. And because of adaptability, you always have to look for your back, behind your back, to make sure that, you know, the lion doesn't jump on you and have you for his dinner. You know.
Which kind of employees are going to become extinct?
I'm afraid in this recession, there are many people who can adapt to the new environment. They have adopted the old philosophy, the old school of thought, that, you know, as long as I work hard, you know, I'll get to keep my job. As long as I'm loyal to my boss, I get to keep my job. Because the landscape is changing and companies are shrinking. I'm not saying you don't continue to work hard, you don't continue to deliver. That's one of the mandatory requirements, because everybody can deliver today. So you've got to be able to have an impact. You've got to be able to be known to your bosses so that they know that you're contributing in a much more effective way than perhaps your other colleagues.
So you have to be a peacock.
Yes. For example, if you're a person who doesn't like to present, you know, you like to play the back room and so forth, then I'm afraid you've got to learn the tricks of the peacock. You know?
You talk about the fight or flight response. Can you explain how this works in the office environment?
Oh, yes. This, in fact, is a lesson that we learn from the animals too. I call it the defense and offense. And animals do take on the defensive posture. You will not, for example, see a crocodile attacking a hippopotamus. Okay? You'll be asking for trouble. At times, you need to be offensive, like sharks. The sharks will take on, you know, its enemy head on. You know? And at times, in corporations, if you know the company is not doing right, and you're seeing that today, right, with the collapse of some of the big firms like Lehman Brothers, Fannie and Freddie. I mean, the staff knew things were not right. The CEOs know that they were selling toxic assets, but they did not want to tell the board of directors. And look at them today. They're in big trouble because the laws are after them, you know. So I would have thought that if they've taken a more aggressive mode to present a board, it may mean that they might lose a job, but it's still better than what they are now, knowing that they have been unscrupulous, causing the whole collapse of the world economy today. Yeah.
You know, sometimes within an office environment, even you have negative so-called politicking going on. How do you survive this environment, and what should an employee do?
I think one has to also understand the colleagues, what animal style he is. If it's a monkey, okay, for example, a monkey believes in teamwork and so forth, you know. So perhaps you can tell him, say, look, you know, I think, you know, what you're doing is not right. I know that you've been bad-mouthing me and so forth, you know. He might take it in a good spirit. But if it's a shark who is sort of bad-mouthing you, then you may want to do it indirectly. You've got to be able to evaluate your colleagues. What animal position is he in? You know, and then you have to act accordingly.
I know you're writing another book on animal behavior in the office. Can you tell me more about that?
I've almost 80% completed this book. The title is called Office Politics Manual. It's a cartoon script, actually. It's a bit of enacting what's happening in the office situation, but with a bit of humor and jest. It's a book that I want people to enjoy, especially in these depressing times like that. We'll be sold in a borders, just like the other book, and I'll make it available on the internet as well, on Amazon.com.
That was Dr. Michael Tang, and you're listening to BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.